Need to remember Drew. She's not doing that well, and she would appreciate your prayers. And if you could maybe text her or send her a card, that would be good as well. You can talk with Sue or Jennifer. Some of the ladies are going to try to go do something for her. And also the Webbers, Brother Weber, could you raise your right hand? You swear to tell the truth, nothing but no, he's right there. Okay. That's the family that has been up looking at homes all weekend, and he'll be taking a job at Harrisburg International Airport. And so make sure you get to know them, because they'll be worshiping here as soon as they move up in October. And they got two boys, ages 8 and 11, no pets, though. But that's okay. I'm going to give him a saltwater fish before he leaves to go back on the airplane and see how he can accommodate that. Anyway, is this PowerPoint on? Go ahead, click something here. I want to see if I can see it on this here. Yeah, okay, I can see it on here. I want to tell you this morning's lesson. Go ahead, click that, EJ. It's about embracing the vision. That's what we've been talking about. We have to be people that are visionary. By the way, if you're not visionary, you're divisionary. And one God wants us to have, one God doesn't want us to have. But specifically, we're going to cover this morning, though. Go ahead, click that, EJ. Section 1, Part 2, which is changing the method, but never the message. Changing the method, but never the message. I want to start out telling you a story. My 3-year-old son, Adam, you can go ahead and switch it. I need you to keep up with me, EJ. We're training EJ. When he was 3 years old, he already knew how to ride a bike without training wheels. Because one of his training wheels broke. And I'm telling you, he just turned 3, and he was like a little evil Knievel riding around on his bike. And it was kind of scary because, you know, he wanted to ride his bike all the time. And you can't keep an eye on a kid who wants to ride a bike all the time. So what I did was, I didn't, you know, like, let's say if I had to go take a shower, I had to do something, I wanted that bike out of reach. And so we had a limb that was about 8 foot high above the ground. And I hung his bike up by the handlebars so that he could not get it, and that if he were to get it, he would have to ask me first, hence I would know he's riding a bike. And I was pretty proud of myself that I had outsmarted a 3-year-old. And he was playing with little building blocks one day in the living room, and I said, I'm going to sneak off, get a shower real quick, and I'll come out, and he can ride the bike. And when I got out of the shower, there was no Adam there. See, Adam, little Adam, that picture you have there on your left, Adam had a goal. Can you know what that goal was? To get the bike. And he combined it with a plan. You see, I believe he was playing with those building blocks and realized what the 1952 episode was of the department store with Sylvester trying to get Tweety by stacking mannequins up. He figured he can make a homemade ladder. So when you get a goal and you put a plan with it, now you have vision, because now you can put it to action. And sure enough, I went outside and he pulled a chair over under that bike, then put a cooler on top of the chair, then put a cardboard box on top of the cooler, and he was trying to put something else on top of it, and obviously it was not going to be sturdy. He was going to get hurt, but he was determined to get that bike. And I'm glad I caught him, because I would have had a vision. I had a vision of him going to the hospital if that thing fell with that bike on top of him. But you see, that's what it takes. A vision isn't just a statement. A vision just isn't a goal. It's a plan to attain that goal. And then you put that plan into action. We here at Camp Hill have a vision. Our goal is to seek the lost. It's right on your bulletin, right over on that banner there. Seek the lost, equip the saved, and bring all into the image of Christ. And that is a biblical goal. Matthew 28:19-20, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them, that's the evangelizing, and then teaching them to observe, that's the conformity, that's the growing in respect to salvation. And so it is a scriptural goal. Many congregations are even missing that. In fact, I would say that most congregations of the Lord's church, especially the little ones that are dying out, they've forgotten this goal. And so I commend you for having this as your goal. But it has to be nestled in the hearts of its members, not a slogan. It has to be something that we get up every day and we can say, what is my purpose here? I'm going to seek the lost, equip the saved, and bring all those around me into conformity with Christ. I want to make them look like Christ. Now, how can we most effectively work towards this goal? See, we're the ichthus down there. Up in the tree, the proverbial tree, we have our goal. So how do we get to that goal? Well, a goal with a plan and action, that's true vision. That's where you can actually see yourself doing it. How can we effectively combine those three, though? How can we take that bike and get on it and ride for the kingdom of God? As discussed, there are three simple steps. Here's your first. Don't go grab a chair. It's training in the basics. Training in the basics. How can we ever do something well that we don't practice? Practice makes not perfect, but better. The world says perfect, but we know better than that. We have to train in the basics. You know, when you go into the military, they give you basic training. You don't just sign up for the military and they put you in charge of the nuclear codes. It doesn't work that way. You work up. You start out with basic training. And then the second thing that we need is planning ministries. The planning of activities. Good organization. And that's, none of this is saying, please, I don't want to get a letter to the editor in the bulletin. Nobody pull me off to the side and say, well, we do good things here. Yes, we do good things here. Paul said, examine yourselves. If we have a good goal, let's see if we're building a good ladder to get to the goal. If you put three rungs together, you got a big step you're going to have to make on that ladder. You can appropriately space them out. And here's the third one. Implementing the plan. You just can't give theories. You have to actually have benchmarks. Where we go, where we go, where we go. Whatever you come up with. Whatever the elders have. We have to have that. That is the ladder with a proven track record of stability and reaching goals. Go back and look at the Bible. In the last lesson, we began the lesson about Gospel 101. The gospel basics. The elders have asked me to do a series of lessons on how we can lead our friends to Christ. How we can, you know, how we can share the gospel, the whole gospel of God, with our friends, our relatives, our enemies, our co-workers, our not co-workers, whoever it is. And so, last lesson, we had five important principles that we have to have. You have to talk about formation, deformation, information, conformation, and transformation. Those are five elements, principles that go into a gospel presentation. If you take any one of those out, if you de-emphasize one, it's like taking a whole rung out of a ladder. How are you going to get to the top if we don't use what God gave us? And this is one of the reasons why the church in the first century were so successful in leading thousands upon thousands to Christ. Because they taught those five principles. They just didn't go up to somebody and say, hey, I learned a new lesson. I learned a new version of Kumbaya. You know, that's not what they did. That's not a gospel presentation. It had those five principles. Let me give you some examples of that. Gospel presentation at Pentecost, where it all began. They taught formation on Pentecost. You know, when Peter said in Acts 2:23, the message of Christ was a predetermined plan and it had the foreknowledge of God, it's clear that he's referring to before the creation. That we have a God that we are accountable to. Without the commonality of formation. By the way, this is exciting. 95% of everyone in the entire world believes that there had to be some sort of intelligent design. When you ask them, point blank, 95% do. Even the atheists scratch their heads and say, well, I don't know where it came from. Maybe I don't like that Big Bang theory so much, because where did something come from? Nothing. And so the majority, this is the foundation of, that's the common ground. If you're ever going to lead somebody to Christ, you start out where they're at and you take them where they need to go. And you sell them the vision. They also, you know, it says Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, they are without excuse. So your prospects, the people that you can lead to Christ, they're far more than the people who don't believe that there is a creator. The Hindus believe it. The Muslims believe it. The Catholics believe it. You add up all the people in the world. Young kids believe it. The only ones who don't believe it are the ones pushing the evolutionary doctrine in the schools. So, they taught formation on Pentecost. They also taught deformation at Pentecost. You remember Peter said in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly for certain that God has made him both Lord and Jesus, whom you crucified. I can almost picture Peter saying, whom you crucified. You're deformed. You killed him. 2 verse 40. Be saved from this crooked and perverse generation. You got a deformation problem that you have to attend. So much so that it led to them asking, what should we do? They knew they had a problem. Acts 2:29, they were taught specific information. And that information is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Brethren, I confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and listen to what he says, and he's in his tomb today. But then he goes on to Jesus. He says, 2 verse 32, God raised him up again, to which we are all witnesses. If we leave, you know, they taught the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. They taught it throughout the entire book of Acts. They taught the conformation. You have to conform to this plan. Acts 2:37, 38, when they heard this, they were pierced in the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do? And what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He told them some steps that he could now, they could attain that goal of forgiveness. Acts 2:41, so when they had received the word and were baptized that day, were added 3,000 souls. They were told, they were clearly told about creation. That was the common ground. They were clearly told they have a deformation problem. Here's some information. Here's a prescription. And the conformation is, there's where you go pick the prescription up. And the results of it is the transformation. Acts 2:42. These are people who weren't devoted to Christ before. Now what are they doing? Continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. It changed their lives. Acts 2:45 and 46. They were selling their property. They were pulling their resources to help the church. Day by day, they were continuing in the temple, the breaking of bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together. They had the gladness and sincerity of heart. Oh, there was a transformation. Those are five things they taught in the early church. What about the Areopagus? There's another gospel sermon there. We covered Peter, let's cover Paul. Paul sought the consensus on the formation principle with the pagan Greeks. He goes into town. He didn't have hardly anything in common with them. Listen to what he says, Acts 17, 24 and 25. The Lord who made the world and all things in it, for since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives life to all people and breath to all things. He started at the formation process, because there's no sense of going further if you don't get that principle out. So a lot of times in his gospel presentations, he's already working with somebody there. But when you're among pagans like that, he said, let's make sure. Now there is a creator, right? Because I'm about to show you his plan for your problem. So he taught formation principle. And he didn't hold back when it came to their deformation with sin against God. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to man that all people everywhere should repent. Because you got a deformation. How can you think again to come up with a new solution if you don't think what you have is bad to begin with? You have to bring up there's a sin problem. And he made it very clear. Man everywhere repent, including Athens, Greece. He shared information about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. Acts 17, 18, he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. 17, 32, they heard of the resurrection from the dead. He emphasized the confirmation to that same message, as we covered in 17, verse 30, that he says he has fixed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man which he appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And then he had it talked about transformation. 17 verse 34. Listen to what happened. But some of them joined. Some sneered. Some said we need more information. And those, remember, you can't convert everybody. You can evangelize everybody though. That's the one thing you can do.
Yes.
You may not be able to jump to the moon, but you can jump. And for a moment, you might even be 12 inches closer. If Evan jumps, he's a good jumper, you might be 18 inches closer, Evan. Me, I'm about at like 3 inches now. But the point is, you got to try. If you swing enough times, you're going to hit the ball. And this transformation occurred. There were some who heard this message. See, Paul went in and he shared the vision with somebody who had no vision, who's struggling with their sins, who know there's a creator. And he gives them information and tells them, here's how you can conform, and listen to what happened. But some joined them and believed, and some were Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. They transformed. Same thing happened. Again, in Acts chapter 4, there's a gospel presentation to the Sanhedrin. There was. They communicated a formation foundation. Acts 4:24. O Lord, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, if you can't agree on that, then why go further? But they agree on that. But then they taught deformation the hearts of the Sanhedrin listeners. These are the Jewish Supreme Court. Listen to what he says. 4 verse 12, there is salvation from no one else, for there is no other name under heaven which has been given by man by which they must be saved. Saved from what? Saved from their sins. 4 verse 25, he says, the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David said, why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Answer is, because they're heathen. That's why. Because they're heathen. We're all sin and fall short of the glory of God. He's trying to communicate to them. You have a problem. You're deformed. And he taught the information of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Acts 4 verse 2. They were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. 4 verse 10. Let it be known to you and all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus the Nazarene, whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead. He held no qualms about it. Death, burial, and resurrection. And he taught them the need to conform. You got a decision to make. You agree with the formation. You've already agreed with the deformation. Here's some information. I'm asking you to conform because God asked you to conform. Acts 4, verse 11. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but some which became the chief cornerstone. 4, verse 18, they had summoned him. They commanded them not to speak. See, they didn't want to go that step. They didn't want that conformation because they're comfortable being on the Jewish Supreme Court. Is Peter any less or the apostles any less because they didn't convert? No. I, Paul, planted. Apollos watered. Bill Shar fertilized. Jason Dane pulled weeds. But God giveth the increase.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's the one who ultimately is going to get the blessing. We're not responsible for how many converts, but we are responsible for if whether we're sharing or not. How dare we sing, I love to tell the story, but then we don't tell it. That's not right. And then, of course, we have the transformation process of Acts chapter 4. There was no need to call for transformation because they were saying, we don't even want you to speak anymore. We want to shut you down. We know what your vision is. We know what your goal is. And we know what your ladder is. And we don't want you putting those rungs in there. And what did Peter say to them? Hey, I'm going to obey God rather than man. Because I got a goal, I have a plan, and I'm putting action behind it. That's called vision. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them believing, that they might not see the light of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, Jesus Christ. You know, they chose not to accept the message. But there was no option. Peter said, hey, I follow God, not man. And throughout the New Testament, you will find these emphasized 5 points, these 5 principles of the gospel message. They didn't sugarcoat it, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, verse 16. But they proudly wore it as a badge of honor, 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Join with me in suffering for what? The gospel, according to the power of God. By them observing and following this pattern, the first century church, all they had to do was just make simple adjustments. That's all they had to do. These 5 things we're going to have a lot of fun with. Okay? Because starting next week, we're going to get into more. We're going to show how that you don't have to know everything. You just have to know this thing. That's all. And you need to know this anyway, because if you're saved by it, don't you want to know how it's working? Of course. Yes, they were rejected. Yes, some were even killed for doing it. It was the exact same pattern. Some people die in car accidents. Does that mean you're not going to drive anymore? No. Some people die eating at McDonald's, choking on a French fry. Are you going to McDonald's afterwards? I know you won't admit it publicly, but I'll see you there. Don't worry. If we're ever going to have success in reaching that goal, that vision, that goal we have, great goal. That's why it's slapped on everything the church puts out. On the letterhead, great goal. This is what our goal is. Okay? Then we must have training to reach out to the lost. That's the first thing. Have to have training. You know, a physician without proper training will not lead you to his goal of good health. Would you go to Granny Clampett or Marcus Welby is my question. Those of you at a young age, you're going to have to Google it and then you'll laugh later, okay? I'm not going to tell you a story about a man named Jed, okay? A mechanic not properly trained will leave you stranded short of your goal called a destination. And then your goal will be to call AAA. A Christian not properly trained in the art of sharing the gospel will most certainly fall short of their goal to lead others to Christ. In the next lesson, we're going to cover some of the many examples how Jesus took the same thing as the same apostles did, and all he did was put a different coat of paint on it, adjust it so that they would like it more. It's no different if you go to get a if you want to get a Chevy or whatever car, you have features that attract you to that car. There's something that you like about that car that makes you want to get that car or that house, something. A house is not a house is a house is a house is a house when you're personally making a decision on it. But the guy building it, it's a house. The guy's taking the taxes, it's a house. Common principles, but different things. I want to share with you a closing vision about salvation. Our God loved the world so much that even before the creation of the world, he knew he had to have a plan to save the people he would create and love so much to save them from their sins. Because God requires perfection. Problem is, we can't give it to him. Try as hard as we want. Everyone in here, when you stand up to God, you're a loser.
I didn't come to church and be told I'm a loser, Doug.
You're a loser. Jesus can't be a winner if you're not a loser. Yes, Christianity is the only religion in the world that when you realize you're absolutely nothing, do you become something.
Yes, sir.
He must increase, I must decrease. So, what did he do? Remember, the goal was to be in eternity with God in heaven. That's what he created us. We were created on good works that we were before ordained to walk in them. But we didn't walk in them. We need salvation. You see the rungs of the ladder? Coming up, he tells us we need Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the most powerful rung of all. You can hang the weight of the entire world on that because it's made out of cross wood. But then there's a confirmation. He tells us certain things. He's clear about that. I was telling Sister Weber and Brother Weber yesterday how I became a Christian. I studied the Bible out, wrote a checklist of 30 things, called all the churches. And she said, you actually saw all that? I said, yeah. It's not that hard to see. He tells us a simple plan. He doesn't say, pole vault a world record or swim the deepest ocean. Something pretty simple. Two-thirds of the earth is covered with water. You already got a mouth, you got a heart, got a mind. You can reason it. If you realize, if you want to be part of God's vision, you want to be in heaven with him for eternity, you want to stop suffering in this world, you better make it in the afterlife. He made a ladder through Jesus Christ. He wants you to take that repentant heart into water and to enter covenant with him, where you will rise and walk in the newness of life. Have all your sins washed away. That's what he said to Paul. Paul was kind of wavering. This is kind of weird, Acts 22. And Ananias said, what are you waiting for? You see the vision? You see the whole thing. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on his name. I'm so glad Paul listened.
Yes, sir.
But God's going to be just as happy if you listen. What's your vision for eternity? There's two different ways. Hell or heaven. Choose you this day what you'll do. You don't have to invent anything. He's built a bridge to the throne room of God. That's what Jesus did. The only people who can't be saved are the ones who don't think they need saved. Is there anybody here who's not a Christian? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Prick your heart.
Yes, sir.
By the way, Brother Burton, I want to tell you, you keep running out and stuff, but Brother Burton, you entered covenant too, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I was gone on vacation. He entered the covenant. Congratulations. You are in a relationship with God of that which is saved. His wife a few years earlier. Think about it. What is preventing you from taking God up on that promise? What's preventing you? I leave you with that question. I'm going to wait up here. If you decided that you're following Jesus, why don't you come up forward today? Let's make sure your sins are washed away by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. Tim?